A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back on into the Greenhouse Show. Dave Meekington sitting in today for Maria Schlaelson. Alongside, as always, Ton Besk. Ton, we've got a text I want to talk about because I have ash trees. And this text says, I have a mature ash tree that has borers in it. There have been several limbs that have died. Is there anything I can do to save the tree? And I've not seen, I'd at least noticed the borers in my tree. But I always worry because we know that there's a borer looming out there that's really hard on ash trees. Right?
There is. The one that we have right now is called ash lilac borer or lilac ash borer. It's both, but it's a borer that gets into ash family trees and shrubs. So lilacs, ash trees, that's actually a fairly large family. And so what you will see in more mature ash trees is that a lot of times as the tree ages, it gets a lot of dead inside the tree. And then a lot of times in windstorms and snowstorms, a lot of branching will fall out of the tree. And what it is that those branches have been weakened because the wood has been eaten by this ash lilac borer. And so in younger trees, it can be devastating if the tree is only 5 or 6 years old because the tree doesn't have enough wood to have the strength to maintain its branching. And so sometimes younger ash trees can just collapse almost like an umbrella if they've had this borer in the tree.
And I love my ash trees. And I've seen kind of similar things in mine. I've always just kind of attributed it to those branches are kind of on the inside, didn't get the sun, and it just naturally died off. But maybe I've got that borer in mine as well.
You may. I mean, it's almost one of those things that if you have ash trees, if you haven't got ash lilac borer, you will probably get it.
It's not a question of if, but when.
Yeah. And so you can do some treatments, especially on the younger trees. It's actually similar in how we would treat greater peach tree borer. The two insects are closely related, and they're called clearwing moths, which if you looked at them, they look like a wasp, but they're really just a mimic, and they're a moth. And so starting the ash lilac borer timing is a little different than peach tree borer, but starting in late May, you'd have about a 30 to 45 day period that you would treat the trunk with either carbaryl, which was 7, or permethrin. And you would do that and you'd spray it on the trunk and thoroughly wet the bark. And you would do that every 3 or 4 weeks for that period of time.
Well, it's just good that it's not the emerald borer that we've been hearing about.
No, that emerald ash borer is devastating to ash trees. And that one you can control with a systemic, to where ash lilac borer, you can't really. Mm-hmm. And so they're, even though they're both insects, they're distantly enough related where the emerald ash borer feads, a systemic like imidacloprid will maintain the tree and keep it out as long as the tree is treated every year or two.
All right. Well, it's good to know that even when that happens, we'll have a way to fight it.
So there's another text here that I thought was interesting that says, my neighbors just put cameras pointing in my yard. What variety of vertical trees would you recommend? And vertical trees would be the easy solution. And my recommendation, if you've got cameras pointing at you, give them a show. You know, hold rock concerts back there, put some big TVs that play all night. I mean, two can play at that game, you know. But if you have to know some vertical trees, one that I would look at is Kindred Spirit Oak. It doesn't overwhelm the yard, but it gets tall enough. The buffalo berry is probably, that was recommended in the text, is not going to get tall enough, I would avoid poplars at all costs, the columnar poplars. But columnar zelkovas, columnar hackberries, columnar oaks would all be options. Well, arborvita would be another one. Those may need to be wrapped in the winter.
All right. There's your tree suggestion. And, of course, we here at KSL always trying to foster good relationships between neighbors. So
yes. And so your neighbors love Twisted Sister and Metallica concerts blaring on huge TVs with big speakers.
I hope there's a good relationship between these two neighbors.
Yes.
All right. Let's
It's how bad can you make bad sometimes when your neighbors are pointing cameras into your backyard?
That's not a good thing.
No.
All right, let's take a call here. Greg's been patiently waiting in Sandy, and he wants to talk about our beloved tomatoes, Ton. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Doing well. How can we help you with your tomatoes?
Well, gosh, Tom, I know you talked about it here a couple of weeks or whatever ago. I am in a, I've got a massive two-story shop on the, east side of the garden, but I've gardened my whole life, bottled lemon, cucumber, pickles, and that's, anyway, I got hit with that darn frost after the hail storm, and it hit me lightly, but it wiped out all my cucumbers, just turned a white gray. And then my tomatoes, they'd been in, and I was so happy about everything. And I know what you mentioned, Tom, about the tomatoes, the taste, etc. I had one plant that had a couple of nice tomatoes on it, that it didn't seem like it got hurt. But some of these, I replanted lemon cukes, bigger plants I've saved, but smaller ones, I replanted seed, and they should pop up today or tomorrow. But the tomatoes, I didn't have any on. Can you cut some of the stuff off and retrain them or do something with them without...
Well, are they completely dead?
No, not at all. There's
okay.
A few places, some suckers, et cetera, that are still, you know, looking bad, but I'm just concerned about them.
Well, the worst foliage, if it's mostly brown, you could cut it off the plants and just let them go, because at this point we're getting late enough that for some reason, unless you could find like some early girls or other shorter season tomatoes, if you planted now, you may or may not get a crop
running out of
plants.
Time. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It happened last year with all the moisture and some physical stuff. I didn't get gardening.
Yeah, you might try giving them just like a teaspoon of lawn fertilizer, no more. Per plant, and make sure that it doesn't have like weed and feed in it. So you're just using like a 16 or 24-5-10 or something, or even a 20-0-0. But give them a teaspoon of lawn fertilizer and water that in, and just cut off. If the foliage is 70 or 80% damaged, cut it off too, and see what you can do.
And I've got some 16-16-8.
That's wonderful.
Okay, and then. That's great, because I've got to salvage what I've got. But I've got one more quick question, please. I have some bee balm, three different colors, three different plants. But, a trumpet vine that's 60 years old that I keep trimmed down into a ball, whatever. It and these two... roses cover them so that they're not getting the sun they need. And I've got a perfect place. And I know it's not the time, but could I dig those up and just hope they transplant now?
Well, personally, if you could wait and they're alive through the summer, even though they're not in like the most spectacular place they'd like to be growing, if you can keep them alive through the summer, I would wait till they freeze back in the fall to dig them and move them. But if you had to move them now, what I would do is cut off all the foliage about an inch above the ground and just move the roots and the stems that are left and get as much of the roots as you can. If you move perennials that way, they have a lot better chance of surviving because their water needs drop drastically if there's no foliage there for them to support. And so if you can move those, and if you need to cut the foliage back, just move the root clumps and then see if they'll re-leaf.
Well, we live for hummingbirds in the backyard, and that's, anyway, five feeders and lots of birds. And I, you know what, I will do what I know what I've got to do, and I'll wait till they freeze in the fall, and then I'll get them moved. So you guys were awesome. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thank you, Greg. Same to you.
Bye.
Hope that all works out for you. We're going to jump out and take a break. We've got more calls waiting on the line, though. Ronald, Sue, and John, we're going to get to your calls after this break on The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final segment of The Greenhouse Show for this hour. And, Ton, we promised to take some calls. Let's do that. We'll jump right in and chat with Ronald, who's calling in from West Valley. And, Ronald, you're growing one of my favorite veggies, and that's broccoli. How can we help you out with your broccoli?
Well, my broccoli's flowering. It's going to seed instead of making heads. What do I do?
Once it goes to flower, you're kind of done for the season. That should have been harvested when those heads were just like they look in the store, for lack of a better description. And so a lot of times growing broccoli at home, you don't get the huge heads like you find on the store-bought stuff.
I know I never have.
And so you just have to, when it gets to the point, you can't let it go longer hoping for bigger heads. You just cut it off and eat it.
Okay, so they were really small, but when they were there, you should just cut those off and use them.
Yeah, and eat those. And sometimes if you cut the primary head off, it'll form secondary florets or flower clusters that are going to try to open. And so you can sometimes, by cutting the main ones off, get a secondary flush and get another smaller harvest.
Okay.
All right. That help you out, Ronald?
Yeah, that helps. One more question. When do I stop spraying my apples?
You don't really. If you subscribe to the USU Pest Lab updates, they will tell you when you need to spray and when you can take a break for a few weeks. Because they'll tell you when the coddling moth are going to start to hatch and you time your sprays around there, then it'll slow down, and then when the next generation comes, you spray again. So that's what I'd recommend doing, but the coddling moth is active all summer long, and what will happen are the first two generations are the heaviest and have the most pressure, and that's when you're most likely to get infected. The third generation is usually pretty light, and it's not that you want to stop spraying, but you could switch over to an organic spray that would be pretty effective, and so you'd have less residue on your apples at that point.
All right.
Good luck with that, Ronald.
Okay. Appreciate you guys.
Have a great day. And let's chat with John now, who's calling in from Sandy. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Yeah, I enjoy your program very much. I would like to know the best treatment for morning glory in the lawn.
Oh, we've got the standard joke here. Shall we pull out the dad jokes? The Larry Sagers.
Do
move.
It. Do it.
Just move. No, the fall is the best time to treat. Is it in your lawn or garden, or where do you have problems with it?
In the lawn and also in ground cover.
In ground cover, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're probably going to have to kill the ground cover out to get rid of the yeah. bindweed.
Yeah.
But in your lawn, this fall, when it starts to cool down in September, you may need to stop by like Great Basin Turf.
Mm-hmm.
What city are you in?
Sandy.
So there's an outlet in South Jordan, but there's a product called Q4 Plus. And if you can't find that one, Ortho makes a Weed Be Gone plus Crabgrass Killer, and that would be the backup.
Okay.
But you're going to spray this Q4 Plus on your lawn in the fall, and what it is a lawn weed killer that actually does a pretty decent job against bindweed. It's the best chemistry we have okay. available to homeowners for bindweed. Now, okay. in your ground cover area, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Just
because, I mean, the bindweed, even with Q4 Plus and a few other things, you never totally get rid of it.
Yes.
And so you might kill it 90% and put ground cover back in. And what you would have to do is wade into that ground cover every 3 or 4 weeks and hand pull all the little strands you find to try to keep it in check.
Yes, but you never get all of it. So
no, you don't. And so you can fairly easily knock it back over a couple of years by 70 or 80 or 90%. But it's just one of those things that you never totally get rid of.
Yes, I'm fine enough out. So.
You know, Ton, and we've talked about this before. I hate bindweed so much that I can't wait till the fall. I see it in my lawn, and I've got a different product, but it's got quinclorec in it, and I hit it right away. And of course, the other thing about using it in your lawn, the quinclorec stays in the soil, unlike a product like Roundup.
It does. Okay. And so you need to read your label, because it'll most likely say either mow the clippings back into the lawn for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or throw them away, because that stays active for a while. And you don't, if you've treated with quinclorec, there is a wait period before you can put those clippings into your garden or send them to Green Waste.
Okay, great. Yeah, so okay, one more quick question. I have areas in my lawn where I think I have grubs and or something called yellow ring. What would be the treatment for that?
My guy said
he thought it was yellow
ring. We're probably going to have to hold this one through, because necrotic ring spot is what you probably have. And you can download a fact sheet from USU about necrotic ring spot. It's not neurotic, but necrotic, like a necrosis. Necrotic ring spot.
It'll make you neurotic.
Yes, it will. And the grubs, you should have put a treatment down about a month ago.
Okay.
But you could still do that and probably get some effect from it. But you could put a preventative down, and then your hot spots, you could get a bag of like 7 or a 24-hour product that's more of a, oops, I messed up, I need to do something, and try to treat it like that if you do have grubs. But I'd recommend downloading that necrotic ring spot fact sheet.
Okay. Could you give me the website for that?
If you Google necrotic ring spot in USU, it'll bring it up and probably be easier to find than trying to navigate USU sites.
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay,
hopefully that
so
helps
much.
You out. John, I
appreciate your help.
Bindweed is no fun. It's something that I think we all get to deal with at some time or another, right, Tom?
Yeah, everyone is blessed with it at some point.
All right, we're going to break now. We're going to have some ABC News at the top of the hour, and then traffic and weather following that, and then we'll be back with the second hour of the Greenhouse Show here on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.